This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch on Vinny and Haney. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster today and tomorrow here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 1:15, we'll play you some of this Oreo sound from GM Mike Elias. He addressed the media earlier today. We'll play you some of that. We'll have plenty of Orioles audio for you tomorrow as well. But let's get to the NFL, Vinny, and we're looking up at one of the screens. We see Kellen Moore having his introductory press conference out in New Orleans. Look, I don't know if I'm pessimistic or being realistic here, but what are we supposed to expect out of this regime of Kellen Moore out of New Orleans? They're in cap hell. They're not very talented. Right. Yeah. I mean, they've been the same team for a few years. They did re-sign Alvin Kamara earlier this year, which, as much as I love Kamara, that was pretty head-scratching for me. Yeah. But what does the future look like for New Orleans? Because all I see is darkness and a lot of losses.
Well, the owner, they also own the Pelicans. Yeah. So both are in the same spot.
Trash. Yeah. Trash.
And they need to take their lumps now and basically start it over. Take the hits they need to take cap-wise, get the draft picks they need to get over the next couple years, and then try to build.
Let's go out to Cincinnati State in the division real quick. The captain and defensive leader, Jermaine Pratt, requests a trade from the Bengals. Of course, he's their starting linebacker, and this is kind of weird. Now, granted, he is entering the final year of his three-year contract, which is worth just over $20 million, but everybody expects the Bengals to be back next year, to take that big step forward next year and be back in the thick of things. What do you make of Jermaine Pratt's trade request?
I'm wondering what the issues are in Cincinnati, because with the guys that you have on offense, you won 5 in a row at the end of the year. So morale's got to be up. You got to be feeling good about this team. And guys, you know, like with Trey Hendrickson, what are they doing with him? You got a new D coordinator now, Al Golden, who came from Notre Dame, who was with the Bengals, what, 2 or 3 years ago. So that would be what's wrong? Mm-hmm. What's wrong? That's my question.
Let's talk about a couple of teams that were in the Super Bowl this year. Let's start on the loser side. Travis Kelce, he's still weighing his options, trying to figure out what he's going to do going forward. Is he going to continue to play? Is he going to retire? Watching him on Sunday, he looked like a guy that needs to retire. And I haven't really said a lot of that about Travis Kelce, but he looked disinterested. He didn't look explosive, couldn't catch the ball, just unreliable. I don't know. It just, granted, the game got away from them early. I get it. But you don't expect somebody like him to look like that on that stage. Where are you on his future?
Yeah, and then Cordell, how about the one where he was laid off the ball and, you know, and they got the quarterback got killed?
Yeah.
The other, was it during the press conference when they got there to the Super Bowl where he said, "Yeah, I want to play 3 more years," or that was
that
maybe
was
right
before the game.
Yeah, before the game. After the game, now it's like a retire. He looked. I'm totally in agreement with you. He looked like he needed to retire because, you know what? The dude's a Hall of Famer. Probably first ballot Hall of Fame, and got all the records that you want in the playoffs and stuff. Go out on top. And you know what the nice thing is? His brother took one more year, and then that's when they lost five in a row. You know, and his brother may say, hey, go out on top.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm totally in agreement with you. I think he looked disinterested. He looked like a dude after the game that knew, you know what? I'm not the same guy that I want to be, so it's time to go.
Let's go to the winner's circle and check in on the Eagles, specifically Jalen Hurts. And he wins Super Bowl MVP. He's kind of rewriting the narratives that were put out about him at the start of his career. Where do you see Hurts in terms of the quarterback hierarchy right now in the NFL?
Well, I don't. I think Mahomes,
he's a weird one, you know.
Yeah, I think you know he's not in top five. I can tell you that. Not in, because I would have Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen, Burrow, and Jaden Daniels. Those would be my top five, and I don't think you know Jalen Hurts can enter that group. You know, the dude wins, and he's got the number one defense. He's got great weapons. He's got a great running back. He's got a great O-line. So the other guys that I just mentioned, they're not point guards.
Right.
If they don't play great, they don't have a chance to win. Right. Whereas the Eagles can still win without Hurts playing well.
Let's grab a call before we go to break. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Parkville and get Chris. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question and kind of make an observation at the same time, I guess. But watching this last Super Bowl, it reminded me a lot of the Giants and the Patriots and the Giants' defensive line and just how it made the rest of the Giants' defense be able to play their game. And I don't think they rushed a whole lot. They just rotated five or six guys on their line. And to me, I think that's like, at this point, you know, Lamar's been in the league a little while. The window's starting to close, and I think there's a lot of I'm not saying they have to draft both the edge guys in the draft, but there's a wealth of talent coming out of college, but there's also some other, you know, other avenues, and I think they should push their poker chips to the center of the table.
I
just wanted to get your opinion on it.
I don't disagree. I think this is their best team that Lamar's had on paper going into a season. This is the best team Lamar had. You're year three of Monken. And, I mean, from year one to year two, he was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Year two to year three, just maintain it. You know, I don't – Cordell, can he – the only thing I said that maybe he can improve on is I think he'll have more passing yards. But, I mean, would I love him to have 41-4 again? That may be a little bit unrealistic, but if he did, you know, we'd take it, but I don't see it. Because I think Likely will be better, Bateman will be better. You know, I think all those guys are going to be better.
Yeah, I, like you said, maintaining right now, because offensively, they're as good
they're freakish,
as it gets.
Right.
You know, and Monken, to his credit, historically, their offenses tend to get better. And, you know, I contrary to the last one, and this isn't a knock at Roman, but that offense had a shelf life. This one, you feel a little more confident that they can, you know, go through the ebbs and flows. They can continue to mature. And even if it does, even if this is the peak, this is modern day football. They're balanced still. They can beat you either way. So I'm confident in the way that this offense is. And like you said, some of the weapons that he has, you're going to imagine that they're going to get better and be bigger focal points of the offense. I'm expecting next year Likely to be even more. Not we see Likely today and then we don't hear from him for another 2 to 3 games. I think he's going to be a weekly appearance. At least he should be.
I agree with that. And then another guy that, you know, you're going to have to offensively, you got another kind of toy to play is Keaton Mitchell.
Because
Keaton will be back. You know, another question I wanted to ask Harbs, but I didn't, you know, you only get so many questions in that thing, as you know. You know, otherwise you get in trouble. But the other one is, what percent was Keaton this year?
I'm thinking around 80? 75-ish, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, definitely not enough to do what they wanted or hoped, you know, especially not from his rookie year.
The only thing is like Cordell, when we were out there his rookie year, when you saw him run, you know, like when we saw him at training camp and stuff, it's like, damn, that dude is, like, he outran Angles.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, like, this past season, I didn't see that, wow, speed. And I think we're going to get that back, which is another weapon that Todd will have.
Coming up next on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Orioles pitchers and catchers. First workout was today. GM Mike Elias, he addressed the media this morning. We'll play you some of that audio next here on The Fan. Right now, we're playing you some of this Mike Elias audio. He met with the media earlier this morning. Here's Mike Elias talking about the depth of the team.
I think it's one of the strong suits of the roster. The way that I look at it is we do have depth in a lot of areas. You know, we feel like that's something that we need. It's something that we're able to possibly carve out an advantage for ourselves in a very competitive landscape. So, you know, you never know, but, you know, you look on paper and it's a very talented group of position players. There's way more than 13 guys in this organization that probably deserve to be in the big leagues. But we'll, you know, we have a lot can happen here in Sarasota, so I don't want to count our chickens before they hatch. But
yeah, I mean, you know, do they have depth? Sure. You know, they're going to be platooning a lot in the outfield. They'll have a constant rotation. They've got about five guys. I mean, Mullins, Kowser, O'Hearn, O'Neill, Kjerstad, that right there. And we'll see what happens with some of these other guys like Carlson, who they acquired late, could just be in the minors. But yes, there's depth there. Infield, same thing. You got Ramon Urias, his depth. We'll see what happens with Kobe Mayo. But outside of that, sure.
Mateo
is going to be gone for a while. So you kind of wait and see with him. I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree that they have depth. I think they have depth. Is it, you know, any different from last year? I thought they were somewhat of a deep team at times last year. It's young, sure, but depth nonetheless.
Right, and you can see how fast it can run out, you know, last year with the injuries. Right. Now, hopefully, and we all kind of think that there's no way that the injury luck that they had last year would carry over
to
this year.
You hope not.
At least to that extent. I mean, sure, guys are going to get banged up. You're playing 162 games. It's going to happen. So for them to have these kind of contingency plans, and let's be honest, you know, like Ramon Laureano had a good half season mm-hmm. with Atlanta last year, but that's not a guy that you're – you know, beating the drum that, oh, he's got to be in there and play 145 games for us. You know, he's a part of the equation. He'll play significant games, but it's not going to be a full season workload. He's going to split time.
What's a drop off, you know, from starter to depth?
At what position?
At any of the positions.
Oh, well, I mean,
outfielder is probably not drastic. I mean, because you're talking about O'Neill, Mullins, Kowser, Kjerstad as the main outfielder guys. Am I forgetting anybody right now? I mean, I don't know how much O'Hearn is really going to play in the outfield this year, but I guess you could throw him in there, like you said, Laureano. In terms of the main platoon guys, I don't think there will be a major drop-off offensively, defensively, obviously, Mullins and Kowser, you feel really great with those guys out
right.
there.
Yeah, and ideally, like, you'd see those guys maybe in a platoon situation or matchups-wise. Like, you need a right-handed outfielder, so that's why they went and got Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll play in those situations when you need a pinch hitter and stuff like that. Again, besides injury, they're just not going to be in there every day. Carlson might not even make the
right. That's why I'm barely even counting him right now. But even infield, I mean, Ramon Urias is a depth guy. That's a former Gold Glover. You know what you're getting out of him. It's a drop off, sure, offensively, but again, defensively, I don't think you're really worried about anything with Ramon right now. Other than that, I mean, I don't know what their depth is infield behind him.
Your biggest drop off, this first thing that comes to mind, might be behind the plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Gary Sanchez, I really didn't get the signing at the time. You're a backup catcher should be defense first, At least that's what I would be looking for if I was searching for a backup catcher. Can Sanchez mash every once in a while and hit some home runs? Sure, but you know, he's playing once or twice a week to get Adley off his, you know, off his feet in the DH spot. But he is abysmal defensively. I mean, beyond liability. So that's just kind of counterproductive, in my opinion. Maybe he calls a good game. I don't know. I don't know enough about his skill set there, working with pitchers. If that's a strength, then sure, you add that to his resume. But kind of a puzzling move going from McCann to him.
Why not? Why wouldn't you have kept McCann? He's still out there.
It's a fair question. Because, I mean, his defensive, he's fine. Workhorse.
It's not a drastic change.
He had some big hits for him at times.
Yeah. Overall, his offense was really bad.
Which is crazy because his numbers were comparable to Adley's last year in the second half of the season, which more so speaks to how bad Adley was. Let's hear one more from Mike Elias. A lot was put into this offseason in terms of thinking that it would be different with new ownership. And here's Mike Elias talking about this offseason with the new ownership.
Yeah, it seems like there's been, you know, something different the whole time I've been here. I mean, you know, we've had a rebuild, we've had a lockout, we've had COVID, we've had ownership changes. You know, the team's been in different phases. Certainly good to be in a position where, okay, we're in the playoffs a couple years in a row. We've got to keep fortifying this roster. We've got to keep this organization healthy. I think the new ownership group being plugged in has really put us in a position now, and I think going forward, we're going to be able to operate the baseball side of the franchise in a very intelligent way.
I mean, it's not really saying much right there.
Didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Can't really hear much.
Yeah, you can't really hear much either. Apparently there's construction going on.
Another year has passed and, things are still the same.
Yes.
You know, it's comforting in that way.
Yes.
Back up the dump truck, get the jackhammer going, you know. Let's hold the press conference right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there
there's
in the worksite.
There's possibly no other place to hold it.
No, there's nowhere else. But, yeah, I mean, look, not a lot of change this offseason. Now, I did see something the other day about the percentage change from where the Orioles payroll has been to and the increase that it's had. It's been one of the larger percentage increases. But, again, what does that mean when they've been one of the lowest, I mean, really low in the grand scheme of things? And then when you look at the roster, there's not those heavy hitters that, you know, that they brought in this year in terms of big names, big franchise, all season altering moves. We don't see those guys on the roster. So it doesn't at least feel like they're financially that they have really, you know, raised their floor, especially when if you're going to start compare them to what some of the other teams around the league have done this offseason as well in terms of spending money.
Right. Half of their increase in spending this offseason has just simply come from arbitration players. And that's not tough decisions or negotiations there. I mean, it is, but you know what I mean? You're not negotiating with a free agent,
right,
that has a bunch of other teams competing with you. And they're all easy decisions. Yes, you're going to pay Gunnar Henderson in arbitration. Adley, all these guys. There's no tough choices there. They were always going to get a salary increase. That really takes no effort. I mean, to be fair, in years past, they would bicker with some of their better players over arbitration figures. So I guess it's nice that they've kind of left that in the past. But yeah, I mean, Tyler O'Neill is your biggest free agent signing. That should say it all.
Yeah. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Talk some sports with him, recap the Super Bowl, the season that was, look ahead to the baseball season as well. That's next here on The Fan. It's our guy, Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Mike, what's going on?
Gentlemen, what's going on today? How are you doing in the post-Super Bowl wrap?
I'm still processing it. I'm still getting – I just hate when there's just no more football. I mean, granted,
no, I get it.
You know, my team lost in a conference championship game, so I'm still kind of getting over that. And then a division rival goes and wins the Super Bowl. But besides that, everything's great, Mike. Probably not so great in Kansas City. And I think when people look at this game, there are a variety of takes that they're taking away from it. But when you look at Kansas City and them getting just absolutely dominated in this game on Sunday night, how do you process that game while also you know, looking back at how dominant they've been over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at a big picture, right? Like, we always talk about NBA teams, and forgive me bringing NBA to any conversation, but the difference between a regular season and a postseason. And in this particular case, you know, the Chiefs are built and they're able to take care of business during the regular season. And then you get into the playoffs and you find that one team that has the answer for everything. And I think that's, you know, the Eagles. They were the kids that were gifted everything under the tree at Christmas time. And here they, you know, it was a pick your poison kind of thing. Jalen Hurts taking care of business and Kellen Moore calling a great game. But for Kansas City, clearly over the course of the year, a lot of narrow escapes and not necessarily the crispness of years past. Like, winning cures all. And then as soon as you have a game like this where you're dominated from pillar to post, all of a sudden it's like, all right, maybe the infrastructure wasn't great. We got one more year out of it, but now we actually have to do some work. It's kind of like what the Cubs do with Wrigley Field. As soon as the final home game wraps, there's construction crews and thousands of bags of concrete to shore up the next section. That's what we need to do here.
Hey, Mike, I tell you what, watching Travis Kelce at the end of that game, it looked to me like he looked like he's saying to himself, I don't think I can do what I used to be able to do. It looked like he was done. Because he had no energy, no enthusiasm. He just looked like he didn't want to be there.
I got to say, I think it's a fair criticism of the team as a whole. They came out with no juice.
Yep.
No juice. Defense played pretty well, and that, I think
they did.
Lost in a lot of this, right? There were a couple of big plays, and obviously, you know, your cornerback, or your safety, I should say, not turning around on that deep ball to Devontae Smith is something that went unnoticed. I'm like, if he turns, he knocks the ball down or he intercepts it. But that's neither here nor there. You know, Patrick Mahomes gifted them 14 points. But for the Kelce conversation, was he in the best shape? No. Was he focused? Doesn't look like it. There were a couple of games during the year, and I highlighted him. Jason and I were talking about this, right? What do you do with him? He's got a big cap hit, tight end position. Still, you'd probably rank him as a back end top 10 for some of the efforts that you got. But a lot of his stats were accumulated, and I think it was like three, maybe four games. So how much does he want to rededicate himself? Taylor Swift's not on the Eras Tour anymore, so he's not gallivanting around Europe for tour purposes, but you know, does he want to do another year or two? Right at media day, said he wants to do another three. Sure as hell didn't look like it. A couple of drops, you know, balls that weren't perfectly thrown, but catches he normally makes, right, on that first possession.
Yep.
Tell me if they get a first down that maybe we don't get a little bit of a different. Maybe they can back off that front four and get something going. That the game plan also and adjustments also. I'm sure you guys have gone from pillar to post on that. But for Kelce, you know, it's that reckoning of, all right, how much do I love this? What are my real off-field dollars and cents if I walk away? And am I ready to, right? You still have Witten's catch total in sight. And if you got yourself back in shape and rededicated yourself, you might catch Gonzalez when it's all said and done.
We're talking to Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. He joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Mike, I asked Vinny the question earlier. How do you view Jalen Hurts now in the quarterback hierarchy after winning this Super Bowl? He's won a lot of games in his career. He's won at every level. And he's also received a lot of doubts at every level. Now, after getting the big one and winning Super Bowl MVP, how do you view him compared to other quarterbacks in the league?
I got to say, I feel bad for the guy because I don't think, no matter how well he plays, and look, he did the job here, right? As you said, there were a couple of big plays, a couple of big runs. Saquon Barkley gets an extra credit for actually, getting out as a lead blocker a couple of times, which, I I'm trying to highlight all the little things, you know, that may have gotten lost in the overall conversations. But for Hurts, you know, based on the surrounding cast, his ability in this got dismissed. I mean, he was magnificent the first time, and they lost, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so like on the biggest stages, and this is a guy that we always go back to, it's not lost on me, the Tua to Devontae Smith, now that Hurts gets to do it. You know, all of those things, college to pros and Disney World moments. He's a guy that I look at. I'd be curious to see him if we didn't have to give credit and parse out all of the yeah, but. I mean, the guy makes plays with his legs, with his arm. You can hate the tush push if you want. It's effective football. And unfortunately, I think he's a guy that kind of gets dismissed a bit based on, you know, he's not putting up pinball numbers. What was it, 18 touchdowns and five picks? But he's efficient. He does what the script asks for. If he wanted to, he could stomp his feet and say, hey, I want to pass the ball all over the yard. But would that be winning football? Not necessarily. So I give him a lot of respect. And he's a guy that now is Super Bowl champion, two-time appearances in 3 years. Yeah, I mean, he's on that next step, probably in that 6-7 range for quarterbacks and the opportunity to do more great things. Just curious to see what they do with the next coordinator.
Hey, Mike, now Cordell, he's a big Washington fan, and he was saying earlier that if Washington gets Myles Garrett in a trade, he thinks they're Super Bowl bound.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. You know, we've got to decide how much noise is in the results of this year on two sides. We can do either the Jaden Daniels was hurt with the rib injury, so that slowed them, or the fact that they won a ridiculous number of one-possession games and late games, all starting with the play of the year. Let's give them an award for it.
Well, how about the Giants? If they had a kicker, they would have won that game.
No, but that's it. Look, you take care of business and winning close. I mean, we're just celebrating the Chiefs for doing the same damn thing. But year after year, that's a tough business. But if you can bring Myles Garrett in, curious to see what the rest of the division does, right? Obviously, the Cowboys are still going to be the Cowboys. Eagles aren't going anywhere. And the Giants, I mean, what do you have? Four or five component parts, a lot of smoke today, Stafford or Darnold or whatever the hell that becomes, and we'll see how that flushes out. But yeah, they're in a great position to run and win the division, and if Myles Garrett is there, man, that'll be fun to watch, seeing Dan Quinn get to deploy him. Come on, how good is that? So yeah, I don't rule it out, certainly. Division has a path. NFC, you've got a bunch of teams that we want to, you know, pull out the pom-poms for, but we don't know what they are. Is Detroit going to take a step back with all the coaching changes? The Bears, will they actually be good? They're the Bears. No, they won't be. All
Bears are White Sox.
Hey, 49 and a half is my win total, okay? 49 and a half.
Well, Mike, you started off the show talking with the NBA reference. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on all the crazy trades that went on at the deadline. Of course, Luka going to L.A., Jimmy Butler going to Golden State. Is there a move that you liked more than some of the others?
I think the best, and we've chronicled it, and I know it's kind of echoing what the masses, maybe a giant megaphone, the De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that, you know, has the most staying power long term. He seems really happy with the move. Hell, he was shooting commercials less than 24 hours after the deal was done for boot companies and all this other crap. So he's the guy that's fully embracing. It's like, wait, I get to hitch myself to Wembanyama? Are you kidding me? So you got that, and they didn't have to give anything up. That's the bigger part of it, right? His arrival is great, but you got a core that is really good. Luka coming here to L.A., giant shot in the arm. It's given us, look, during Super Bowl week, we talked more NBA than anything else, partially because we're in L.A. The other part, I mean, what were we going to talk? Ooh, let's do legacy talk. No, screw that. Let everybody do the next iteration of Jordan and LeBron on their dime. I'll find something else real and substantive. So Anthony Davis being called a bum. Now, unfortunately, he gets hurt, and we get into some of those battles of who knew what and when. But, yeah, Luka coming to L.A., setting up perhaps the future as another big superstar showing up here. Yeah, that gooses things. I don't know what it translates to. They look pretty bad last night in a terrible loss to a bad Utah team, which is kind of funny because my co-host, Jason Smith, he was brought up in a J.J. Redick press conference. He tried to do one of those dismissive, you know, like those fake guys on Twitter, like Jason Smith, and he added some numbers to his name. It's like, oh, thanks for listening, coach. So we're having some fun with that. So now they're 0-1 in the J.J. Redick-Jason Smith feud era.
Advantage you guys right now. Mike, appreciate your time today. As always, be sure to check out Mike's show on Fox Sports Radio. Swollen Dome, correct?
You got it. Swollen Dome, Instagram, and X. And we got a lot of good things in the work. I appreciate you guys. It's good to talk to you.
I'll be listening Sunday morning, Mike.
Thanks again, Mike.
All right, 9 to 11. I'll be noon to 2 this week. A little schedule change that's shifting me out. So it'll be me and Mark Medina, a bunch of NBA All-Star and nice. Second half talk.
Well, perfect time for that. Perfect time for that. Indeed, Mike, have a great weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Be good, guys. Yep. Thank you so much.
Coming up next, we'll get you a trip through the Funhouse. We'll also tell you the featured artist Friday winner as well. That's next here on The Fan. Terps, they're back at it tonight out in Nebraska. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30. Tip-off is at 8:30. Terps, 1.5 underdogs on the road tonight. I got the Terps winning outright. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think they got to get it done. And, you know, been looking at some of the spreads when they play on the road this year. That's usually pretty telling for me. Like last Thursday, they were 2.5-point underdogs mm-hmm. when they played Ohio State. And the way Ohio State was coming into that game, that made me a little nervous. Anytime that Vegas kind of favors the home team over a ranked road opponent that's coming in, even though the home team on paper is clearly worse, that's usually very telling to me. So 1.5, it's a little bit closer to a pick 'em. And I know Nebraska is, they've won 4 in a row. They're red hot right now. So to me, the Terps, if they just hit their free throws, they'll be fine. I mean, they lost by 3 to Ohio State and missed 8 free throws in that game. Mm-hmm. So think about how bad they were offensively. I mean, they had huge scoring droughts, still are in a position to win it. So just hit the gimmies, hit the free throws.
This is going to be a tough crowd, all red and white. It's going to be packed. They're going to be screaming. Yeah, and this is a game that is a game that they need to win. It's not going to be easy, and they need to win this game. They need to win their road games. I mean, we talked about it. They need to win their road games.
Let's take a trip through the fun house.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for just a few here. We'll start with one on the Orioles that says, Kerstad has earned the chance to play more a long time ago, and he's been held down by his manager and front office. If he played for any other organization, he would already have a 30 home run season and an all-star appearance under his belt.
Well, he's been held back from injury as well, but I don't disagree with what the texter is saying. All of those are true. I've been a big Kerstad fan for a while, so I'm ready to see him break out and take advantage of this opportunity.
And we'll do one on the Ravens. This texter says, any thoughts on the Ravens overhauling the entire secondary staff? Pagano, I get that move, but the need for another guy from Kansas City was a little confusing. I'll admit I don't know much about him, but maybe just a younger guy to complement Pagano's veteran status.
Yeah, I think that. And the thing about it is Spags, Steve Spagnuolo, the coordinator from Kansas City, where did he coach previously for a long time here? So it's going to be a similar style defense, so the guy should be able to fit right in. And I don't know why he would want to leave Kansas City if it's a lateral move.
Right.
His contract was up, I'm guessing.
That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Appreciate Nolan. Great job as always. And all of our guests, all of you guys that were listening to us. I'll be back in place of Bob tomorrow. All of us will be back here from 10 to 2 tomorrow. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access there. I'm next. Until tomorrow morning, class dismissed.